Yeah. We experimented this week, and separate from that, we've got some questions.
Yeah. This week, I found out that if you use acid on the victim, they are 3% more likely to tell you where they hid the treasure.
Yep. Where they hid that gold.
That's my experimentation.
It was in a pirate's cavern, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was in a pirate's
cavern. We got there.
And I don't mean a cove at sea.
Chased by that mob family.
I had to hunt down and seduce that pirate.
You found the gold in the
pirate's cavern.
In a pirate's cavern. Yep. Anyway, so yeah, we asked for you to submit some questions. Anything you want. Might become a regular feature, might not.
Yeah.
We're not sure. Depending on these questions, probably.
Yeah, it's all on your shoulders, whoever you are.
Yeah. My waste of talent has just asked, David Duchovny's lips?
David Duchovny. David Duchovny.
That is the standard of questions we're getting.
I'll answer your question with another question.
Yeah.
Who's David Duchovny?
David Duchovny is Mulder.
Right, yeah.
I don't think he has any lips. From what I...
Is the question, where are they?
it's just David Duchovny's lips, question mark?
I mean, I want to
I'm not sure whether he wants to know our opinion on them, or whether...
Six out of ten?
Yeah, I'd go so far as to say 7.5.
Seven and a half.
I mean, it's like, Scully, where are my lips? Where are my lips, Scully? Can you find them for me? That's basically, they're out there, much like the truth.
My lips are out there. To be honest, that entire monologue you were just doing,
He's pouting.
He's pouting all the time.
My lips are out there, Scully.
I was trying to figure out a pun for lips are out there, but it just doesn't work.
Much like the truth, Scully. My lips are out there. You want a kissy kissy in my mouth, Scully?
You want to have some smackaroons?
I made them specially. They're like macaroons, but with my lips. I press my lips into the shape of macaroons. You want a kissy kissy in my mouth, Scully?
Impression's getting better. And it's really disconcerting.
Aliens, Scully. it's an episode of The X-Files where occasionally David Duchovny goes,
Aliens have lips, Scully?
That's enough of David Duchovny's lips. So from Ross_originals, he's asked us, will you ever pitch an... This is a serious question.
Yeah.
Will you ever pitch an interspecies romance with a happy ending?
Oh,
Or at least where no one gets eaten.
I was going to say...
Yeah. I read this question, right?
Yeah.
It led me to pitch a film.
Right.
I mean,
Ross is raising the...
He's raising the Life's a Pitch
conundrum,
monster wife cinematic universe.
Well, no, he's raising the Life's a Pitch monster wife conundrum, which is how do you pitch a monster wife movie where the husband doesn't get eaten at the end?
Yeah, this has led me to I wrote a film down.
Yeah,
not a whole script, just a pitch.
So pitch. To fill you guys in, we pitched.
My wife is a literal giant snake.
My wife is a literal giant snake and spider wife.
Yeah.
Both of which were films about learning to love your significant other who turns out to be
some kind
of animal hybrid.
Yeah.
And then
you get eaten.
And then at the end, you get eaten. Now, yeah. In the case of... My wife is a literal giant snake. He deserved it. He really did deserve it for not having trust in
Spider-Wife, however, just happy. He was just along for the ride at the end of the day. He was along for the ride.
He did get spawned into lots of Brendan Fraser babies.
Spiders with Brendan Fraser's face on them, screaming constantly, from what I remember.
Yeah.
Or I've just changed the ending. We've had quite a lot of people talking about this, actually. I say quite a lot of people. One. Alex, not safe for work, keen, commented...
Listen, the public's gone wild, Tom.
Commented on Spider-Wife, saying, is this in the same universe as my wife is a literal giant snake?
Yeah.
And I was like, don't analyse it.
don't analyse our feelings towards women.
just women or husbandry.
Husbandry. I'm sure... Isn't that making... baby animals come out.
Yeah, that's husbandry. I've just assumed husbandry was just being a husband.
No, husbandry, just
being a husband.
Husbandry is birthing
our views on the shackles of marriage.
The institution, the noble institution of marriage.
Yes. I've got a film written down here.
Okay.
Yeah. I've called it Joined in Holy Mantis Money.
Okay.
Or Honey, I Shrunk Brendan Fraser. Right, Brendan Fraser's working for scientist Rick Moranis.
Okay.
On his shrink ray.
That makes sense.
Either Brendan Fraser or Rick Moranis get shrunk. I'm not sure.
Well, given that the name of the film is Honey, I Shrunk Brendan Fraser.
Probably, yeah. It's probably Brendan Fraser.
That would be my guess, but if you wanted to pull a twist early in the film, that would be where to do it.
It's kind of like a Doctor Strangelove or How I Learned to Stop Fearing and Love the Bomb. Brendan Fraser has to marry... I'm not sure how we get to this point, but Brendan Fraser has to marry a praying mantis to get back to full size. Matt, help me out here. Invent a situation in which that...
So, the shrink ray also comes with some kind of universal translator. Like, basically the idea is when you get... The reason we can't understand insects is because we're too big, right? Yeah. If you get down to mantis size...
Yeah. They speak perfect English.
They speak perfect English.
Cate Blanchett English.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In fact, it is Cate Blanchett.
Yeah. She plays the mantis wife.
Yeah. So she's. They're like, oh, you don't look like any kind of prey I've ever had. And he's like, you fend him off with a stick, and they're like, whoa, we grab sticks sometimes as well. Mm. You're amazing.
Yeah.
Marry me. Yeah. Right? But then they say, like, oh, hang on. You've got to fulfill the right of. Mantis matrimony.
Mantis money.
Yeah. I don't know the way that works, but basically the idea is if you want to ride on a mantis's back, you've got to be married to them. That's the law.
Yeah.
Right? Because then they take you off to the breeding grounds and everyone knows what happens to praying mantises mates, right?
Yeah.
Once you've bred, that's it.
Well, I mean,
it's eating time.
I think at the point of climax, the praying mantis woman bites the head off the man mantis.
And,
the mantis.
What do you call a insect academic? Entomologist.
Insect man.
Entomologist.
Or woman. Insect man or woman.
So, Brendan Fraser is an entomologist, right?
Yeah.
He knows this better than anyone.
Yeah.
Because... He's bred mantises. That's why there's so many in the garden.
Yeah, yeah. Well, is it like he gets shrunk down into this what they call vivarium?
Okay, but he needs.
Fuck knows. A glass box.
Yeah.
With praying mantises in him.
Just swarming.
Yeah.
He needs to get out of there, right?
Mm.
And the only way out is on the back of a mantis.
Mm.
Right. So. He knows this is dangerous, but the idea is, get on the back of this mantis. Once you're married, and she like starts to take you up towards mating zone.
Pleasure Island.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pleasure Island. You need to get her to go off course, jump out onto the shrink ray pad, out of the vivarium. The vivarium. jump out onto the shrink ray pad, press the button, get yourself embiggened again. Right?
Yeah.
So that she can't eat you.
Right.
That's his plan.
I'm thinking this ending.
This is what he says to the Beetle, his friend, his best friend, Danny DeVito.
DeVito, the Beetle. Yeah. Yeah, I was thinking Danny DeVito.
Danny DeVito.
We just get Danny DeVito naked and paint him black.
Danny DeVito.
Danny DeVito. Danny DeVito.
Danny DeVito.
Prince DeVito.
DeVito. Hey, I'm Danny DeVito.
But like he's yeah,
dung beetle things.
Yeah, he's just like, hey, Brendan Fraser, remember me?
I'm Danny DeVito.
Danny DeVito.
You once fed me a breadcrumb.
Danny DeVito with the overwhelming libido.
I knew that was coming.
He's going around fucking all these praying mantises. Yeah. He's the mantis.
This is how Brendan Fraser gets the idea.
Yeah.
Because Danny DeVito has such a tough shell.
Yeah. That they can't bite.
So basically, like, he's fucking all these mantises and they're trying to bite into him, and then he's just like, ha ha, gotcha.
Yeah. So anyway, Brendan Fraser gets out of the thing on Cate Blanchett's back. They both land on the shrink ray pad.
Yeah.
So Cate Blanchett is now giant praying mantis.
Oh my god.
And Brendan Fraser at the end of the film is just like, hey, you're our size now.
None pray. Of your weird customs.
You gotta pray by our rules. None of your weird biting the head off customs. Now come here. And they kiss.
And they kiss. And
she's like, oh no, I've always wanted to be this big. Happy ending there for you, Ross.
There you go.
Yeah.
At which point...
In holy mantis moaning.
At which point she gives birth to just like thousands of swarming mantises who devastate the crops of the surrounding area.
Yeah, yeah. It's a happy ending for the romance.
Wait, mantises eat, like, predators, aren't they? So...
Just
eat all like pets in the neighbourhood.
Yeah, yeah. It's a mutually happy ending for the couple.
Yeah, not for humankind.
No,
there is now a human hybrid.
That's our next challenge, Matt.
Swarm.
We've got to pitch an interspecies romance with a happy ending for the world. So we've got one more question from Cyber Connor. Why won't Hollywood hire Brendan Fraser anymore? Click here to find out. That's what he's asked.
Did you click there?
No, there was no link.
Oh, right.
He just wrote that.
He just wrote that?
Yeah, yeah, click here to find out.
I clicked it and it just took me to his profile. So
yeah.
It didn't help me.
Thanks for that. Why won't Hollywood cast Brendan Fraser anymore?
Tom Cruise is available.
He's not.
Yeah, he is.
I tried.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. But they're not anything alike.
They are...
This is a serious point. They're not anything alike. I don't understand.
They feel exactly the same. Listen, right. Tom Cruise was cast in The Mummy, whatever it was. Not two, but you know what I mean. The reboot of The Mummy.
Oh, yeah.
Because someone with those rights was like, I really wanted Tom Cruise at the time. We had to go with Brendan Fraser. I'm pretty sure.
Tom Cruise doesn't have a comedic bone in his body.
Have you seen Mission Impossible? It's hilarious.
It's not.
That laptop explodes.
It's not. Like, right. Brendan Fraser in The Mummy is funny.
I don't know. It doesn't feel funny.
It is.
I didn't laugh.
He's funny. He's like, not. He's like a shit Chris Pratt from Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah, he's a shit Chris
Actually, no,
Pratt.
He's like Chris Pratt from Jurassic World.
He's like Chris Pratt.
He's exactly like Chris Pratt from Jurassic World.
A combination of Owen Wilson and Jackie Chan in Shanghai Noon.
Yeah.
Like, that physical, the clowny... But he's not. That's the thing. That film has a comic relief character.
Mm.
Whatever his name is, who's stealing shit all the time.
Benny.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, no, there's quite a lot of comic relief characters.
There's a lot of comic relief.
There's...
Do you know why? Because Brendan Fraser does not cut it.
There's John Hannah, who plays Uncle Jonathan. I think his name's John Hannah. Someone Hannah. Uncle Jonathan. Uncle Jonathan being from The Mummy Returns when they have a kid. That's the thing. Omar Jalili plays fat Egyptian stereotype.
Yeah, who gets eaten by Beatles.
Beatles.
Yeah.
Benny. There's three Americans who are just interchangeable mummy fodder in that film.
Yeah.
But it's great. It's a great movie. The Mummy is a great movie. It's a fun adventure romp. Which is what we're doing today.
Today we did a fun adventure romp.
Fun adventure romps. Brendan Fraser, right.
What else was he in, right? He was in
Bedazzled. Great movie.
That was a great movie.
It was a great remake, but yeah, great movie.
I've never seen the original.
I've never seen the original either. I didn't really, yeah. Like you said, I don't really need to.
Did feel a little bit like an Adam Sandler flick, though.
But he's, like, right, Brendan Fraser, definitely better than Adam Sandler. I'd much rather watch a Brendan Fraser film than an Adam Sandler film.
Even if an Adam Sandler was somehow, for some reason, still in the movie industry in this perfect world of ours.
Yeah.
I'd rather Brendan Fraser do Adam Sandler's roles.
Yeah, yeah. Brendan Fraser, right, he was great in Bedazzled.
Yeah, well, he was all right. Like, yeah. I kind of feel like Bedazzled, was the concept was better than the film itself.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I know what you mean by that, actually.
There are several sketches in that film.
Yeah.
Not all of them
it
great.
It seems like a weird SNL film.
Mm.
If you know what I mean.
Yes, yeah. Oh, yeah, because you know, there are stuff like... he's like, oh, I wish I was amazing at sport, right? Because he's... For those who haven't seen it, go and watch it. But for those who haven't seen it, Bedazzled is about a guy who's pining after this lady... And
he makes... Well, the devil gives him a few wishes. Liz Hurley.
Liz Hurley is the devil, says, you've got 10 wishes, I think.
Or six.
A number of which...
I'm guessing it's 6 or 7.
Yeah. Anyway, a number of wishes.
Each time he makes a wish to make himself better.
Kind of better.
Or like more in... Like, a more improved version of him, but they all have a twist.
Yeah, they all have the devil twist, don't they? So, it's like, oh, God. Like, what does Rick call it in Rick and Morty? The cursed item thing?
Yeah. Twilight Zone shit.
Yeah. So, it's all sort of like...
Monkey paw
so,
stuff.
For instance, you know, he wants to go out with this girl. The girl says, oh, no, I really like I really like sporty guys. So he's like, I wish I was the best sportsman in the world.
We are just talking, just explaining the part of Bedazzled.
Yeah, fuck it, it's great.
This is what's happening right now.
And then she makes him into, like, the best basketball player in the world, and the object of his affections is a sports reporter who falls in love with him, and then he looks and he's got a tiny penis.
Yeah.
It's like, that's...
He's an intellectual who's amazing and really smart and stuff, but he's also homosexual.
Yeah. He's the most sensitive guy in the world.
But he's too sensitive.
So he's crying at everything, and then the girl runs off with someone who's a hunky beach boy.
Yeah.
And
each one leads on from... It's a great film.
Yeah.
It's
a good concept for a film. But what I was trying to get at was in that one where he's a sportsman, like, they do the full prosthetic thing. They give him the eyebrows and chunk him up a load.
It's a good movie, though. I really like that movie.
I don't think I need to watch it again, because I do think it's a film better in concept than it is.
I don't have it on DVD. I only ever watch it when it comes on TV.
Same.
Yeah. I'm just like, oh, it's on ITV2. It's on.
ITV2 seemed to love that film.
Yeah.
I'd be willing to wager it's not as good watching it with a critical eye in terms of how they pull it off. Because I do remember that there's all those scenes where, for instance... He's like, oh, I don't think I want to do this anymore. I just want to go back to life as it was. And then Liz Hurley just gets big. It's like she's superimposed against a load of fire in the background.
Yeah.
And then she's just big.
Yeah, I think that happens in the original.
Is Morgan Freeman God in that one?
Yeah, I think so. But, like, he just comes in at the end.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hell, Morgan Freeman. Is Bedazzled set in the same universe...
As Bruce Almighty.
Bruce Almighty.
It could very well be.
It could very well be.
They're very similar films.
Yeah.
I think they're both based on films that have already been.
Oh, really?
Because I think the original Bedazzled, if I'm not mistaken, there was a film with Elliot Gould in, who's Ross's dad in Friends, with a very similar theme, which I watched as a kid, and I can't remember what it's called. It might be just Bedazzled. it might just be that. It's that kind of, like, It's a Wonderful Life kind of... Christmas Carol kind of vibe to it. Brendan Fraser isn't cast in Hollywood anymore. Why? Why not?
For the reasons I've explained. Because he was and is... Firstly, right, his star's just faded. He's not got a lot of cachet anymore.
No.
So...
But I'd love to see him in an indie film or something like that.
But when he was being cast, he was being cast in the shadow of other actors. So, for instance, in Bedazzled, he was being cast in the shadow, good or for ill, in the shadow of Adam Sandler. In The Mummy, he was being cast in the shadow of Tom Cruise. And, like, people like DiCaprio. Like,
the thing is, right, Mummy would not be the same with Tom Cruise or DiCaprio.
No, you're right, it wouldn't, but I feel like it took
He takes those films and makes them his own.
But, right, so The Mummy wanted...
George of the Jungle.
It's a shit film.
It's not a great film. It's a great film.
All it was a cash-in on Tarzan Fever, which was a real thing. People during that time were obsessed with Tarzan for some reason.
I remember that. Yeah.
I think you have Tarzan New York?
That was just George of the Jungle.
Oh, was it?
I think so. Yeah.
Okay.
San Francisco, George of the Jungle.
Disney's Tarzan.
Yeah.
I know around that time somewhere, maybe a few years prior, you had Hercules in New York. That was hilarious.
Yeah. There was another Tarzan film.
Everyone, for some reason, fucking loved Tarzan.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is, he was just being cast in the shadow of other actors. For good or for ill, right? So I feel like just Brendan Fraser, right, never found his spot. He never found his acting niche.
Yeah.
Because there were people doing more appealing things in his place.
I guess. Like,
The Mummy wanted to be Indiana Jones. Right? Because Indiana Jones is quite lighthearted.
Yeah.
Right? Harrison Ford, weirdly, managed to carry the comedic lines of Indiana Jones reasonably well. I still feel like, Harrison Ford, as an actor, was cast for looks and seriousness, mainly, right? He was just an action hero dude. So was Tom Cruise, right? So, I feel like The Mummy were wanting to cast for Tom Cruise. Tom Cruise wasn't available. Brendan Fraser was there. He was cast in a lot. He was in a lot of stuff that other people would have been better for. I just don't think he ever found his niche.
The thing is, right, with casting Tom Cruise, because I wonder if there is that thing of they actually approached Tom Cruise for The Mummy.
Yeah.
Because I know they definitely approached Tom Cruise for Iron Man.
Really?
Yeah. It's kind of like that what if Will Smith had played Neo kind of deal. That alternate universe where it's like, holy shit. Like,
cause... I was thinking this morning, there is an alternate universe where Michael Cera is Peter Parker.
Yeah,
like in probably The Amazing Spider-Man or the original Spider-Man films.
It would have been too young in the original Spider-Man films.
So
the
Amazing Spider-Man,
or the new one. I think he's too old to be the new one. Yeah.
He's like what, 83 now?
But if you were to recast the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Yeah.
Michael Cera would definitely be.
No, if he was recast, but like in a bad way.
Yeah.
I would not go and see a Spider-Man film. I mean, I wouldn't go and see a Spider-Man film normally.
Yeah.
This one just happened to be really good.
Yeah.
But if Michael Cera was Peter Parker, that would be me out. I am so sick of...
Right, so we've got Tom Cruise as Iron Man.
Oh, this is going to be painful.
Tom Cruise as Iron Man,
right.
Michael Cera as Spider-Man, Brendan Fraser as
Thor.
Star-Lord.
No, he's Thor.
Thor.
Brendan Fraser is Thor.
Brendan Fraser is Thor. Hulk is Edward Norton. He just kept the money.
Just kept the money.
He was like, yeah, I'm on board for these.
That implies he paid it back in real life.
Yeah. Yeah, like I think the reason why he didn't want to be in the Avengers was he was getting paid less.
Okay.
Than he did for Incredible Hulk.
Gotcha.
And to be fair, like less screen time.
Yeah.
You're not on screen as much.
Yeah.
Edgar. I was gonna say Edgar Wright. Edgar Wright as Captain America. No.
Simon Pegg as Hawkeye.
No, that would be better casting.
Exactly, that would be better casting. That's because you couldn't cast it worse! I dare you to try and cast Hawkeye worse!
Simon Pegg would make, he'd make a good Hawkeye.
Also, I want Deaf Hawkeye. I want Deaf Hawkeye in the recast.
Hear.
No, in the comics, Hawkeye's deaf.
Oh, right, cool.
Using a hearing aid and stuff.
Yeah. Who else are we? Captain America.
Who would make a weird, make you feel a bit skin crawly Captain America?
Jason Sudeikis.
Vin Diesel.
No. He's already in the Marvel films. We've got a cast from outside.
What's Vin... Only just... He's only just in the Marvel films. Like, you can't tell.
Who would be... Who would be a shit Captain America?
Well, not that shit, but, like, fits all the criteria on paper.
Yeah.
But... isn't quite there.
Oh.
See, I feel like Brendan Fraser is better for Captain America. Actually, So who was he before? Who do we have him in as before? Thor.
Thor. Yeah.
Yeah. No, who would be Thor then? Who's the new Arnie?
The new Arnie is like Vin Diesel and The Rock and stuff, but they don't have the hair.
They don't work for it, do they? I mean, The Rock did do The Scorpion King.
I keep forgetting about that. Jason Statham?
No.
No.
Shit. We're out. We're out of them.
Chris Hemsworth is like perfect.
Well, no, do you know what the problem is? That we haven't seen any other kind of those kind of actors because of the Marvel Universe.
Yeah.
The Marvel Universe has blocked out Hollywood. Because think about it.
Yeah.
Think of how many films those actors have been in outside of that.
Yeah.
Everyone's been in a very high profile film. Easing out over and we have
Liam Hemsworth. This is Thor. Just cast his younger brother. Yeah. No!
Steve Amell. Steve Amell. Stephen Amell. Arrow from Arrow.
Oh, yeah.
He would be actually... He would really work. He would genuinely work.
I was thinking maybe Josh Hutcherson.
Oh, no.
No, he's too young.
Yeah, he's far too young. And also, like, only his face is square. You need the rest of him to be square.
Yeah.
No, Steve Amell would work really well. Actually, I would be okay with him being Thor.
Yeah.
Like, I would be like, all right, yeah.
Josh Hutcherson, Jennifer Lawrence as Black Widow. Hands down.
Yeah,
that would just happen.
Yeah, that's no problem. But who? Anyway.
who? For a second, you had it.
Nick Fury. J.K. Simmons?
J.K. Simmons or... Forrest Whitaker.
If you want.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's already got some... No, Cuba Gooding Jr. just a black guy.
Yeah, that's why I said J.K. Simmons, because it was only
yeah.
Samuel Jackson that made...
Kurt Russell.
Kurt Russell.
Because he's played him before.
Fair enough.
Just use that film. Who else is there in Star-Lord, Guardians of the Galaxy?
So, fucking hell. Guardians of the Galaxy. So, Star-Lord,
Brendan,
I think...
Fraser again.
Fraser again. Kiefer Sutherland.
Really? No, he's too old.
Kiefer Sutherland would be good for Iron Man, though.
Yeah, he would, yeah.
But we've already got Tom Cruise.
Yeah.
So we need someone a little bit, like, light-hearted. Well, quite light-hearted, very light-hearted. We need a comedian. Who also looks good.
That's Star-Lord.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Comedian who looks good. Yeah. That's Chris Pratt.
Yeah. Jason Sudeikis.
I don't want this that anywhere near my film, please.
One of the SNL guys, Jimmy Fallon.
Jimmy Fallon? No! There's got to be someone. I would like to see Kumail Nanjiani as Star-Lord.
Yeah, that's a good call.
That would be great.
Yeah.
I would really enjoy Kumail Nanjiani. Yeah. He's very thin. Very thin and, like, not buff at all.
Yeah.
But give him a few, like, 6 months in the gym and we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
He's also quite short, I think.
Gamora, we cast Karen Gillan. And as Nebula, we cast Zoe Saldana.
Yeah.
Just swap them.
No, right. Nova, Zoe Deschanel.
Yeah.
Like, shave all to Zoe Deschanel's. Yeah. No.
Gamora.
No. Nova.
Nova, right.
Shave all Zoe Deschanel's hair off, please.
But Nova is Glenn Close.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I just think... Yeah.
Yeah.
I just...
Shave all Zoe... Ant-Man, we've got, of course, Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's... Yeah.
He's a lock for that.
Yeah.
This is a really weird... Oh, yeah, my goodness.
It's making my skin crawl. Nicolas Cage is Captain America.
All right.
Yeah. Whatever. How do we not figure that?
The other day, I cast Nick Cage as Geralt for the Witcher series.
He'd be good as that.
A young Nick Cage.
Yeah.
You'll get, like, Superman. You know when they were doing the test footage for Superman?
Mm. Yeah.
With that long
hair. That's what I'm saying, Captain America. He'd be great as Captain America.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. We don't think so, but yeah. Winter Soldier, Nick Cage.
Where's my shield?
Winter Soldier, that... Nick Cage would make a great Winter Soldier.
Yeah, he would, yeah. Nick Cage would be a good Winter Soldier.
Shall we... That's all the questions, is it?
We do have a run here, actually. Mike Cello has given us... Jungle Run, the movie. You remember Jungle Run?
Yep.
Who presented Jungle Run?
Was it either Dick or Dom?
Both?
Or Richard
Simmons.
Yeah. I can look it up for you if you want.
Yeah. Like, because it's... Because I distinctly remember, like, Dave Benson Phillips...
Well, that was Get Your Own Back.
That was
right?
Get Your Own Back. But he also did... It wasn't Chuckle Brothers, was it?
What?
The Jungle Run, for our listeners...
Oh, mate, it wasn't Chuckle Brothers.
No. Chuckle Brothers did do a... Chuckle Island, was it? Jungle Run for... This is going to be going in this run for the deleted scenes of... Pitching kids' TV shows.
It was Dick or Dom. It was Dom.
It was Dom. It was Dick or Dom. Jungle Run, the movie.
I told you it was Dick or Dom, and I was right. It was Dick or Dom.
So, Dominic...
Wood.
Dominic Wood takes a lot of kids into the jungle.
Just puts them into deadly tasks.
Yes.
Finding treasure for him.
Yeah. Well, it's the opening of Indiana Jones and the Raiders of the Lost Ark. Except instead of those sort of helpers, he's just got kids. One of them tries to shoot him at one point.
The opening is Dominic Wood watching, like, the Goonies.
Mm.
And he's like...
He's got an idea.
These kids.
They're great adventurers.
Look, he looks across at Dick and he says, these kids don't get hit by any of these traps.
Yeah.
They get completely away unscathed.
They're small and they can get in through tight spaces.
Yeah.
I've been wanting to get that jewel from
Monkey Island.
From Monkey Island for decades. Ever since I was
the
a
ancient,
kid.
The ancient temple of Monkey Jungle Run.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And so he grabs a load of kids, puts them on a plane.
Like Child Catcher. He goes out on roller skates.
Oh, no, no. Dick is like a sort of accomplice to
He's like a...
However,
It wasn't Richard, whatever his name is. He was like a wizard, right? An actual wizard, but he was a magician.
Mm.
So...
Dominic Wood was the guy from Sheffield, right? The guy who went to Norton College.
One of the two.
My old college.
Yeah, I think so. I think he was Dominic Wood. Hello, Dominic Wood. What was it?
He went to Norton College.
Oh, Dominic Wood is a magician.
All right, Dominic's the magician. Dick is the...
Richard McCourt.
Richard McCourt is the guy from Sheffield, I believe.
Yeah, Dom's from Devon, and Dick is from Sheffield.
Homeboy.
Homeboy! Home slice.
One of our homeboys.
Richard, if you're listening.
Yeah, Richard McCourt. Get in touch.
Get in touch with us, and we'll happily have you on the show.
So yeah, Dom is just going around in a van.
Yep. Stealing children.
Just like, do you want to go on an adventure? And they're like, yeah, I'm bored.
Richard, if you're listening... come on the show.
Yeah. They go like one by one, these kids get killed by these traps as Dom hungrily ventures forth through the jungle.
Slowly starts to realise. In fact, yeah, Richard starts to realise that this was a terrible idea.
Yeah, and tries to kill Dominic Wood. Just to stop him.
Has to kill Dominic
Wood. Well, not kill him, but immobilise him.
No. Because...
he's possessed by demon of the jewel.
Yeah. Richard's like, man, these kids... I thought this was a good idea, because you said to me that these kids were going to get out unharmed.
Mm. But...
They're dying, and... we need to stop this. And then Dom's like, no... I've already sent for another plane load.
He's got...
In the guise of a ITV competition.
Yes.
Children are being flown over here by the plane load.
Yes.
And in the end, Dick has to kill Dom. To stop him from...
With an old wise man hidden in the jungle, played by Danny DeVito, gives him this dagger that can only kill a man possessed by the jewel.
Yeah.
And that's how he does it, on the mountaintop in the jungle.
Yeah, and... he's possessed by the spirit of the temple.
Mm.
It's like Tomb Raider, the game. You know, the island. The island has a spirit.
Oh, yeah.
The new one. Yeah. Say new, you know, 7, 8 years old, maybe 10, I don't know.
Jesus Christ.
I feel so old.
The fact that was free on Xbox Live a few years ago, I was just like...
A few years ago.
Yeah. That's the thing. It was a few years since that was free on Xbox Live.
Really great game.
It's all right.
No, I really enjoyed it. Genuinely, I would play that game again.
I'm looking forward to the Alicia Vikander movie, because I think they'll have got Tomb Raider right, other than...
Certainly if they get Rihanna Pratchett's a writer, because apparently she's just good at it.
Yeah, well, what's it? Angelina Jolie had problems.
Fucking awful, that.
Yeah, it was terrible.
Daniel Craig is a computer guy. No.
He's the love interest in...
Who is the computer guy?
It's... What's his name? Is English man been in a few...
What? Rowan Atkinson?
Movies.
Johnny English?
No. English man. He's got a moustache. Oh, I was chatting to him with a friend the other day.
You were
Chatting about him with a friend the other day. I can't remember his name. If you can remember the computer guy's name from...
forget it.
Tomb Raider. The Angelina Jolie one. Please get in touch.
Anyway, the island has a spirit.
Life's a pitch... podcast. at gmail.com.
The island has a spirit and is driving Dom to you know, has possessed him and is driving him to sacrifice these children at the altar so that the Monkey King can be reborn.
Mm.
Like, and they, like,
God, you remember a lot of Jungle Run, because this is just bringing back memories now. Because
it's
I saw Jungle Run the movie, I was like, right, I cannot for the life of me remember anything about Jungle Run. You seem to just recall everything, and now it's just springing back to me.
All I remember, that there were monkey idols of different, varying, different kind of materials.
Mm.
That's all I really... it was just Crystal Maze, but it had a different theme.
It's like... But in the spirit of kids dying in various challenges, we've also, as a reply to that, Joe Thompson's given us Raven the movie.
Raven the movie?
Yeah.
That's so
like,
Raven
it makes
the movie.
A pretty looking epic movie anyway.
It does,
yeah. Just do a super cut episodes.
You've got wraiths.
Hmm?
You've got who advance slowly on their target and then weirdly, like, turn them to dust if they touch you.
Yeah.
It was a really scary show. Like, yeah. You've got, like, a gauntlet.
You've got a...
Weird, that's the weird thing, isn't it? Because the stakes go down in Raven, right?
Yeah.
So, again, for people who haven't seen it, it was a very similar kids' game show in which...
Hosted by a Scottish...
A Scottish guy...
Who turned into a raven?
Who turned into a raven, yeah.
He dressed like one of the Night's Watch from...
absolutely. Turned into
Game
a raven,
Thrones.
Would fly down...
Do you think that's where George R. R. Martin got the inspiration
from? Must be, yeah, must be. I can't think of any other way.
He went to Hadrian's Wall, turned on TV, Raven was on, he was like, bang on.
I've got it.
Yeah.
So he would basically say, now, warriors, he'd call them, wouldn't it?
Warriors.
Now, warriors, it's time to embark on another adventure.
The thing about Raven was, I don't think any of the kids wanted to be there. Like, if you look at the kids, right, Crystal Maze, they're all down for it. Chuckle Island, they're all down for it. Jungle Run, even.
I still debate the existence of Chuckle Island, but anyway, right. Is it in the Bermuda Triangle?
I'm starting to doubt your commitment to sparkle motion.
Is it in the Bermuda Triangle, Chuckle Island? Because I don't think it exists.
That would be great if it was.
So, right. Raven the movie, right? The thing with Raven is, the stakes went down. They'd be in the Haunted Forest, like, trying to hit targets with a long pole and with something on the end or whatever. And that would be the challenge, but there would be these, like, robed figures advancing on them, and they'd just get turned to dust if they touched you.
Mm.
And then he'd be like, right, it's time for the winner to face the challenge, and...
Wasn't it just questions?
No.
No.
It was a gauntlet. It was like... All it was, right, I say the gauntlet like it was an amazing thing. It was just a plank.
Yeah.
Like a plank, it was like an adventure playground. Like it was like a swinging blade made out of cardboard and like, you know, stuff that would knock you off. It's a knockout. Or
They were made of cardboard? Are you sure it wasn't just a steel
deadly blade? Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, no, because they used to get knocked off by it. And then once they hit the floor, the effect would go, well, they disappeared. And it's like...
They disappear from everyone's memory.
And then he'd call them back, like, whoosh, the lightning would strike down, and they'd call them back, and they would be like, oh, I'm afraid you haven't made it through the challenge today. Time to go to the Phantom Realm. And then, they'd disappear. I don't know, these are half-remembered things. But I feel like the stakes have gone down from Haunted Forest with wraiths to just a wooden gauntlet.
Mm.
You know? I feel like... That hat should go the other way around. You should go to the gauntlet first to see if you get through or no worthy to fight the wraiths.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. From Joe Thompson, we've got Reginald Piggington and the Forest of Unpronounceable Things.
Unpronounceable Things.
Yeah. This is going to get really good for an audio podcast.
Yeah. Ooh,
we can't pronounce these things. What can't you pronounce, man?
I feel like this is like a kid's thing, right?
A kid's film.
Yeah. Mm. A little bit like Where the Wild Things Are.
Like a kid's learning program, but also a film.
Ish, but the problem... Yeah, well, it's about... Reginald Piggington has a speech impediment.
Mm.
So he goes somewhere, like he's got a lisp.
He's played by Rowan Atkinson.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. So he's got a stutter.
Yeah.
And there are, basically, right, he goes into the bum woods, right?
Just the bum woods.
No. The bum woods.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bum woods. And the problem is that he says, I've got to go to the bum woods, but nearby there are the bum woods that are really scary and terrifying.
So he goes to the wrong one.
Yeah, he gets taken to the wrong woods.
Okay. And inside, he gets trapped inside, he gets lost.
Yeah.
And Danny DeVito, he's got like a little stick. He's dressed as his character from Hercules.
No.
The fawn from
Dan DeVito plays an old wise snake.
What?
And here's the thing. Danny DeVito says, I'm an old wise snake. And you know what? I've lived inside this cave for the last 30 years. And he's like, and Reginald Pinkins is like, why have you been in this cave? Why don't you live in the village? And he says, nobody likes me in the village because I said too many S's on, someone thought I was insulting them. and I don't know. They work out a way. They're both there through misunderstandings.
Mm.
And they work out a way.
He really insulted Cecil Scissors.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I can't think of a... There's got to be a wordplay that you can use. Cecil Scissors. there's got to be a way... Like, he was referring to Cecil Scissors, but they thought it was Cecil Scissors' like house.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So yeah.
So when he said,
it's a hard concept, but let's move past it. So I'm thinking,
Cecil Scissors is on fire. He was like, he's doing really well in the in the sports.
So,
but actually, everyone thought that he'd set fire to Cecil Scissors' house.
So yeah, the fire
yeah.
department turned up. They were like, "Get out of here, snake! You're rubbish.
You're an arsonist.
Yeah, arsonist.
Yeah."
So yeah, I think they both have to work together because the trees talk and they pronounce things wrong.
Yeah.
And they have to get past the trees to get out of the scary woods.
Yeah.
And it's a kid's show about learning how to pronounce things properly.
Well, no, it's about finding a way to live with it, right? Mm. It's about not being ashamed anymore.
Yeah.
So
we've got to put a proper message onto this.
Yeah. So they like get put into the they've been essentially they're sort of like trapped in these woods.
Mm.
And every time they try and say because they're lost, how to try and get back home, they can't pronounce it until, I don't know, they write down where they want to go or, like, something, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's difficult.
Yeah, it's difficult. However, I think it's just them walking through the woods, pronouncing things wrong.
Yeah.
But then learning that it's fine.
It doesn't matter. It's what you mean.
Yeah, it's what you mean in your heart that counts.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's... Yeah, Reginald Pinkerton and the Forest of Unpronounceable Things.
There you go.
There we go.
Better writers than us will finish that one.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we're just the ideas men.
Yeah.
Yeah, we don't write.
Just give it to David Walliams, it'll be alright.
Yeah, it'll be fine. Hello, just want to say thank you for listening to the Lives of Pitch deleted scenes.
We hope you've enjoyed it. If you have, maybe consider sharing it with your friends on social media, by word of mouth, anywhere really. Maybe put it onto a thumb drive and just throw it at someone. And maybe even reviewing it on wherever you got it. If you find it somewhere on iTunes or Acast or wherever, maybe review it there. 5 stars, thumbs up, give everyone the heads up.
Like I said before, thank you. Cheers.
Right.
Bye. Bye.